What's up, guys? Greg here from the Brolettes. And before we jump into today's episode, I want to give you guys a big update because today's episode has a lot to do with where the Brolettes are going in 2026. And as we get ready to end 2025, first of all, it's been an incredible year. I think this is episode number 37. So we did 37 episodes. We kicked off with our first episode with Matt Ford, someone that I played baseball with, someone who played in the MLB, who is now a pitching coach in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. And we have had 35, 36 other guests that are incredible, the best of the best. Along that timeline, it is just over the two-year anniversary since we launched our sunglass brand over this shoulder, Arete Shades. And the first big update is that we are sunsetting Arete Shades at the end of the year. So if you ever wanted a pair of our glasses, now is the time to get them because we are shutting it down at the end of the year. So head to Arete Shades, grab a pair. I think there's only two pairs of youth left. There's a couple different, I'm looking at the Red, White, and Boom, the Martian, and the Rise and the Rose. I think that's all that's left. And when they're gone, they're gone. It's been the most incredible two-year run with that. We have, you know, given them to tons of players on the Savannah Bananas. College players have been wearing them. Cosmic baseball players have been wearing them. Minor league baseball players have been wearing them. Tons of college guys like at UCF. And it's just been an incredible run with the sunglasses. But with the reason we decided to kind of sunset this is twofold. And I think it's something that we can learn from. One is that this podcast and doing media has surpassed any like goals that Colt and I ever had when we started creating content. You know, did we know that by the end of the year, we'd have interviewed both Joshes, Josh from Play Crate and Josh from Baseball Lifestyle, that we would talk to Xavier Scruggs from the MLB Network, one of the top voices in personal branding and content creation in the baseball space. So many amazing college baseball players, two Savannah Bananas, Bill Leroy and Connor Harris, that, you know, we'd be talking to incredible people every single week. And some people outside of the baseball world, Chris Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski's brother, the founder of Ice Shaker. We've had Rob Hoop, one of the top college track athletes, who's also one of the top track content creators. I mean, it's just been an incredible year with incredible people. And I've left out so many people that we have interviewed. And we've got some amazing ones coming up too. Aiden McIntyre, Adam from Pottstown, like just the list, Fuzzy from YouTube, like so many amazing people that we have coming up on the pod. So content has like just completely taken over. This year alone, I think we're at like 3 million something views of our content this year, which is absolutely insane. The second is that the sunglasses have been awesome, but they were never really our product, meaning we just sourced a really cool looking pair of sunglasses and created a brand around it, which I think is super important to build brand. But it never really felt like they were our glasses. And so as Colt and I were like talking about it, is like, do we really want to go deep and figure out like how to make our own sunglasses and how to figure out what lenses we want and what, you know, what different materials that we want and all of that stuff. And ultimately, we decided that we didn't want to go down that route, that, you know, there's some amazing brands that already exist in the sunglass space. Like there are great brands like 100% and Oakley. There's just cool brands in the baseball space. But we really started looking at like, what do we love? Like I've traveled like my entire adult life, right? For events and conferences and speaking and TV shows and all these different things. And, you know, now traveling with Colt and playing all the time. And the one thing that we always need to do is bring gear with us. So we need bags. And we feel like there's an opportunity to disrupt the baseball marketplace with a really cool bag. I think that bags are really just an afterthought. We put thousands of dollars of stuff into our bags, our bats, our gloves, our helmets, our batting gloves. Like our batting gloves are $120 now. And we're just shoving them at the bottom of our bags. And I think there's a huge opportunity to disrupt in this space. I don't think anybody's really paying attention to it. There's been these amazing challenger brands in batting gloves and sliding mitts and even the glove space and the bat space. But no one has disrupted the bag space. And I think there's an opportunity for us through the podcast and the people that we're meeting and the connections that we're making and the headway that we have on the content side, plus the fact that Colt's in the game every single day, my experience in e-commerce and launching these sites, that we are going to go hard and create a bag company that is going to disrupt the baseball market. And we're so excited for it. We're at the very early stages of it. And the first people that I went to talk about this and really shape what kind of bag that we're going to make is the episode that you're about to listen to. And I know I'm rambling to get to it, but these guys at Forward Pickleball, Grub, who we interviewed here, really tuned us into the fact that we don't want to go and just make another bag. We want to make the best bag. And these guys on the pickleball side have made incredible bags. I have two of them. We've launched both of them on the company that I work for every single day, the Grommet. They're incredible bags, super high quality, so thoughtful with the pockets and where things go and how your pickleball paddles come out. And like, and we learn so much and we're taking that into what we're doing. And so the final piece of this is that we're going to document this every single step of the way, from our first calls with our designers to getting designs back to getting feedback from you guys to getting the first prototypes and samples. And this isn't going to be an overnight thing. Like, we're hoping for a summer 2026 launch to get the initial bags out there. Might be way later than that. Like, who knows? We want to bring you guys along on the journey. So to do that, head to brolets.com, not the brolets, just brolets.com. Put your email address in, put your parents' email address in. This is going to get you into our newsletter, where every week we're going to be sharing updates on how we're growing the Brolets brand and getting ready to launch the bag. And so if you want to be the first people to know about the bag, how we're building it, head to brolets.com, enter your email address. Of course, follow us on the socials, Instagram at the Brolets, YouTube at the Brolets, TikTok at the Brolets, and we'll be sharing tons of stuff there. But if you want to be the first people to know about this, get the early access, get the early discounts, all of that, head to brolets.com, enter your email address. What you're going to see in this episode is essentially us asking Grub for advice. Like, hey, how'd you start your brand? How'd you design it? How'd you go to market? Like, all these things, so that we could learn from it. So if you've ever been interested in creating a company from scratch, this is the episode to listen to, because we basically use it as a 30-minute consulting session, and we're sharing this with you guys, the behind-the-scenes stuff. So check out the episode. I think you're going to love it. And if you're excited about, you know, what we're up to and this bag that we're going to be creating, Colt and I, over the next couple months, drop a comment below and say, I can't wait, or I'm excited, or whatever. And, you know, we'll make sure that we read all of those, take all of your feedback. We're going to be calling a ton of baseball players and talking to you guys about, like, what you love about bags, hate about, like, we're going to involve you every step of the way. So I've rambled way too much before this, but we're Sunzing Arte Shades. We're creating a new bag company. This video that you're about to watch, this interview, is kind of how it all got put together. Hope you guys love it. And I can't wait to see you guys and hear from you guys in the comments and all that stuff. Let's head into this episode of the Brolets. Guys, before we jump into today's episode, I got to tell you about our new sponsor. It is Stinger Sports. Guys, I got to tell you what I love about these guys. So first, I met Brandon, the founder of Stinger, through a mutual friend. We had him on the podcast, one of my favorite episodes. Make sure that you go and check it out. But we've developed not only a bit of a friendship, but now a partnership, where we want to introduce everyone on the world to Stinger Sports, because they make incredible athletic gear at an affordable price. And this is what I really love, because if you're a parent, you know how expensive gear is getting, how expensive uniforms are getting. And these guys make affordable stuff that is pro level quality. Right now, Colt is using one of their gloves. I mean, this thing is sick. Look how customized that is. And he's using this in 13U baseball right now, which is amazing. And then we also brought them on as a uniform sponsor. Look at these custom Stinger Sports Brolet jerseys. How cool are these? And the best thing, they're not just for baseball. So baseball, soccer, volleyball, whatever that you need, they can equip you. But on the baseball side specifically, what I love is they will equip you with fully customizable jerseys, but also the pants, the hats. They will also get you the ancillary stuff like batting gloves or team backpacks or anything that you need. And they have packages that make it affordable for any family. Guys, you got to check out Stinger Sports. I will put the link in the description. Check these guys out. Make sure you tell them that the Brolets sent you. And please, please, please support our sponsors here. Check out what they're doing. Big fans of Stinger Sports. Now, let's jump into this week's episode.
Let's kick it off by getting to know you and Forward. Can you introduce yourself, what you do for the brand, and how you started Forward?
Yeah, my name is Grub Bushio. I'm a co-owner of Forward, and we make premium pickleball bags.
Keeping it really simple. I got one of them right here. I think I got the Court Ranger here, which is awesome. So we're going to talk a lot more about the bags as we go. But I you can't believe everything you read on the internet. But did you guys start creating dog bags first and then flipped into pickleball bags? Or is that a rumor that the internet got wrong?
Yeah, no, that's totally right. I co-founded a company called Canada Sports Sack, and that product today, my old business partner still runs it. But yeah, that's the best selling dog backpack in the world, which is pretty cool. So yeah, we got some bags under our belt, and I left that company. I sold it in 2019, and honestly, wasn't expecting to do bags again necessarily. We did a few things outside of bags and other products here and there. But we weren't expecting to make pickleball bags. It just kind of came up, and we're here now. So yes, that is true.
Why did you decide to create a pickleball bag as your main product?
Yeah. So Topher and I, the other owner, we were actually running an e-commerce agency for other e-commerce brands. And we were actually building the agency up to support the next product that we did. And I had the side gig of making paddles. We had a paddle brand called Golden Pickleball with a couple other friends. This was early 2019, and we're making like really cool looking pickleball paddles. We were like one of the first ones making like cool pickleball paddles, but it was a very, very side gig. We missed a massive opportunity, which is like a huge mistake we made. But it kept me in the pickleball world somewhat. And I remember playing pickleball for the first time, and this was after, like, right after my dog business. And I remember going to the courts locally and seeing not great pickleball bags, if any at all. And I remember asking my friends who got me playing. I was like, "There surely has to be a cool pickleball bag. Like, you have your paddles, you have your balls." So, anyways, that's kind of like where maybe the idea started. But yeah, paddles. We did paddles. Kind of were in the industry, and then let that die. And then Topher and I, we kind of sat down, and it was something we talked about for a while. We didn't know if we really wanted to do it. And then one day we just kind of sat down. We're like, what is the competition like with bags right now? And we did just seriously a quick Google search, and it was so obvious that there was a massive hole in the market. And yeah, that's when we decided, hey, I think there might be something here. And we started our product development groups and started getting feedback. And it was very obvious that we needed to go down that road. And yeah, we actually saw such a big opportunity that we actually shut down our agency and said, this needs our full attention. Let's give it our best shot and try to become, the brand for a product in this space. So yeah, that's kind of how we initially got started.
You had to change your name early on. What'd you learn about naming a company or naming the actual bags?
Yeah, the product name change was pretty frustrating. It was totally a mistake on my part, probably particularly. I was the one who filed the trademark. We missed it. There was somebody else who filed Kitchen, and it just happened to be in the pickleball space as well. Super random, unfortunate, bizarre timing, but we just kind of, decided to make a hard switch instead of fighting it. We were still so new at the time. We were like, it's not that big of a deal. So so probably maybe do more research on my part next time we decide to do a name and go for it. But actually we're really happy with our rebrand. Forward, like, our tagline is never settle, and people really, really were resonating with that. And I mean, we do too, obviously, but yeah, people are really, really resonating with that in particular. And we did a lot of marketing around that. And, what does it mean to like never settle for us? And for us, that's always kind of like moving forward, pushing forward. Like, we always want to be moving in the direction we want to go. So we're like, it was kind of just one of the names we wrote down. And I guess I just got singled out at the end of the day when we decided to switch it up.
I think there's two cool things that I want to tap on. First is, I think both names have letters missing, right? Vowels missing. So there's a little bit of a theme there. But two, with Forward, I think it's unique because you can obviously expand outside of pickleball should you want to, right? Because Forward could be a golf bag, it could be a tennis bag, it could be whatever it is. It doesn't limit you. Where Kitchen is a little more specific to the kitchen, which is a pickleball specific terminology. So any thought that went into that when you did the name change to Forward, or just kind of got lucky one night? You're like, hey, it's a cool name. Let's roll with it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like what you just mentioned, we were thinking about that as well. And we kind of saw, we were having a really, people were really liking the Kitchen brand, but like at the end of the day, they were liking the products that we were building. And, we're like, look, like if this goes well, of course we want to keep building just excellent gear. And for us, that could be a different sport bag. That could be a daily bag. That could be just different products in general. So yeah, the name, we really liked it to be a little bit more broad, but still in the sense of this is what we're here to do and this is how we're going to serve our customers. So yeah, you nailed it, Greg. That's exactly right. We had that same exact thought.
How do you think about branding on the bag itself? How do you make sure people know it's a Forward bag, but not make it too crazy with your branding and your logo all over it?
Yeah, for us, it was really just feedback early on. People did not want giant logos on their bags because for us in pickleball, there's always a hot new paddle or, you know, a brand kind of becomes lame or dies out and you don't really want to support them or whatever, right? So you might be stuck with a bag that's like a walking billboard for these people. So in pickleball, for, you know, in particular, they wanted minimal branding, which for us were like, sweet, we do too. That we think that looks really good. We don't want our big, you know, we don't want you to be a billboard. If you're going to talk about it, we want you to talk about it because it's a great product and not because someone's like, oh, what's Ford? Like, you got to, our stuff's black on black. You got to look for it really to see the logo. So yeah, mostly minimal branding due to feedback first and foremost. And then, yeah, we want people to recognize our products because they look different. They present themselves differently. So we'd rather stand out on the product instead of, you know, having a big logo over our stuff.
How did you guys find your manufacturer and what made you trust that they're the right one?
Well, we learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes with the dog bag business early on with manufacturers. And so we kind of knew what to look for and not look for. Luckily, our designer hooked us up with our current manufacturer. They make some of the world's best-selling travel bags. They're really premium. Like, they were already vetted through our original designer who was helping us out. So luckily, we just got connected with my designer's manufacturer that he's already worked with a bunch of times, and they've been phenomenal. They're made in Vietnam. The quality, the attention to detail, they have been incredible. Best manufacturers we've ever worked with, for sure. So we got kind of lucky, honestly, on that one.
Yeah, it's always nice to have that warm introduction. We're going to talk a lot more about some of the product feedback and, you know, how you worked with them, like 12 versions of the bag before V1 launched, you know, to shoppers. But I want to talk about, maybe it's from the dog business, maybe it's from this, but like the attention to detail with things like zippers and straps and pockets and the hooks and the little things that make your bag really stand out. Like, most people have no idea about this stuff. I'm assuming you obsessed over some of that stuff to make it right. What have you learned about the little things, like making sure that the zippers are the right kind of zipper, making sure that the pockets are where they're supposed to be? Like, all of that stuff, I think you guys did a really intentional job of. So where did that kind of background or design come from?
So I think like all those little details actually started from just, you know, what are people bringing to the courts? How do they use these different accessories? How many do they bring? You know, basically, I mean, we're pickleball players too, so we kind of get it. But yeah, a lot of those details basically come from our initial idea, our initial sketch or whatever, and then we get a sample of it, and then we have our feedback groups, our basically a Discord group, Facebook group. You know, people messaging us, that type of stuff. And we just let people rip it apart. And like, we always ask them why. You know, somebody will say something and they're like, hey, I don't like this pocket here. And it's always like, well, why? Like, tell me why. Like, you may be the only person that would use it in this way. But what we've learned with product development, if one person's saying it, there's usually like 40 or 50 people thinking it that don't say it at all. So we kind of have to take in that feedback and then filter it down and get a general consensus of like, hey, do people like this pocket here? Does this need to be bigger? And for what reason? So a lot of it is just based off of feedback and us doing a good job showing the prototypes and showing how it works, what fits in there, to give people a really good idea of what the product is without them physically seeing it. So I would say, I mean, I guess it boils down to like communication with our customers and just asking high quality questions.
Super smart.
You mentioned the designer. How did you work with him to create the first version of your bag?
Yeah. So we basically went to our designer. He was already a kind of a proven designer. He made, I mean, like one of the world's best selling daily bags, like kind of work travel type bags. So we already knew he was really great in that area. And we basically just went to him and said, hey, you know those bags that you've designed before? We want something similar like that, but for pickleball. And he's like, whoa, like, okay, this seems like really interesting. And obviously we need to tweak it to players and whatnot. But yeah, we basically just sat down and we collected a list of everything that could go in these bags, how players are using them. Some of our ideas, like the fence hang hooks on the shoulder straps on our bags, are like really unique. And that was just like one of the, you know, one of the things we just kind of brought to him. And then they start sketching it out and they say like, okay, what's the vibe? What, you know, what are we going to try to accomplish here? And kind of, you know, with the court caddy was really important to make it a really unique standout bag, especially in our industry. So yeah, we just started chatting and he started sketching and he sent a bunch of rounds over and we're like this one. And we let our group pick. And yeah, it kind of, you know, we did all of this with our community. Very, very little of what we do is behind like closed doors. I would say the only thing that we do behind closed doors is basically step one. We have to give people an idea or a direction of the road we're trying to go down. And that's really like our job is to get that initial first step. And then we all start going down that road together. So yeah, we do everything with our, like we build in public basically.
Yeah, I think that's so smart because now you're making something that customers actually want as opposed to maybe just what you wanted, even though you might have a good eye, you've done this before. Super smart. I want to talk about, so we were looking at your YouTube channel and the very first video on that YouTube channel, you probably like have no idea where this is going, is you basically doing a screen record. I think it's you over a screen recording of the tech pack. And you're like, hey guys, just want to do some updates. Like we're making the bag 2 inches wider and we're adding this magnetic thing. And like, I just want to talk about like, even just the designer, the tech pack side is like, this is something that's new for us. Because when we did sunglasses, we're just like, I don't know. Went to Alibaba and we're like, yo, those sunglasses look cool. Just put our logo on them, right? But you know, the technical aspects of all of this, how much of that did you bring versus the designer bring versus the manufacturer bring to put it all together? Because you can have an idea maybe in your head, but you got to bring it to life somehow. And that video was really cool because it showed us like, man, look at the attention to detail that they have on like every little piece of the bag.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely like a really collaborative effort. There is definitely just little things we learned from all the dog bag stuff. And like the dog bags were really, it's a cool product, but I wouldn't say it's definitely not premium. It's definitely not like super well thought out because of like the job is to like carry your dog on your back and you need to make sure it's like safe and it's comfortable and it looks okay. You know? So like I didn't really have a great like background in terms of like all the super nitty gritty stuff. Like obviously we've gone to factories and like we've seen like all the things that you can do and whatnot, but I was really rusty in the development side of things. And like we definitely relied on our designer to be like, yeah, you want to use this material like for this feature. And like he was huge in that department, just like materials, tying them all together, make sure they look good together and you know, function how we want to. So it was like a little bit of like some things we learned from dog bags, but a lot of it was like, you know, this, our designer, he builds really high standard bags for a living and he knows all the updated materials and cool stuff to put on bags. So yeah, we relied pretty heavy on him for that type of stuff.
I think it's kind of a recurring theme is like, it sounds like you found the who, right? That could really help you bring these bags to life. And so like for someone who's maybe starting out, who's listening to this, they're like, whether they want to create a bag, they want to create a paddle, whatever it is, like, how did you even source that, the who, right? Were you just like on Upwork and you're like, I need a bag designer? Or was it connections? Like how do you source somebody who's an expert in that world?
If somebody's listening to this and they don't know where to go, I would try to reach out to a brand that you like really love or like you personally like have used their gear, and then start looking even on like LinkedIn or even just like start messaging people from that company. Like, hey, who's on your design team? I have some questions, whatever. Like people are pretty open to talk. Our designer was a friend of one of our employees at the agency. So the kind of a mutual random connection there. And so that one kind of like fell into our lap, luckily. But yeah, it's pretty easy, I would say, to reach out to people and just start asking. Like what the worst thing people can say is no. So you can reach out to a bunch of different companies and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for some design help. Who helped you? Or is there somebody on your team? And a lot of the time you can even find them on like LinkedIn and stuff. So
yeah, great answer. Love that.
Just be resourceful. Just be resourceful.
You made 12 versions before your final batch. What did that testing and back and forth with the factory look like?
Luckily, like, our factory experience was awesome for this. Our manufacturer, they're really creative, and that's pretty rare for manufacturing. So we actually didn't have to basically build them a new tech pack for each variation. We just kind of sent them videos and said, hey, you know, we like this on the bag, or like, this isn't functioning right. We should maybe like do this or this here. And they would get it and they would totally nail it. And I think that's actually pretty rare in the manufacturing world. So we're pretty lucky with our manufacturer that we can basically send them a video or a picture or even like another sample of another product, and they can kind of just like figure it out in a really, really good way. So yeah, the back and forth was actually pretty seamless for us in terms of not really needing our designer to explain everything. He was in the chat with us and like would chime in and say like, hey, maybe this needs to be a little bit more technical, or like add this density of foam to like get the structure we need and stuff like that. But yeah, it goes back to just having a great manufacturing partner really on that one.
Yeah, that's huge. And I imagine 12 versions, but that means a lot more samples than that, right? Because they're probably sending color samples, things like that. Like, how big of a deal is that? Or is that not a big deal with these manufacturers? Because at the end of the day, they want the payoff, right? They want you guys ordering hundreds and then thousands of bags from them. So they want the business, but also they're like, man, is this grub guy for real? You know, he keeps making changes. Like, is the payoff going to be there? Like, what is that like? And then also, obviously, like, just getting the samples. And it sounds like you guys did a ton of product testing. Like, you get the bag, I'm sure you head right to the courts and look for feedback. So just walk through that sample and testing process.
I can't stress how lucky we are with our manufacturer. But yeah, they obviously, I mean, if your company grows, their company grows at the end of the day, right? So they definitely treat you well in terms of like, if you request samples or different color lab dips, like they're really nice to, and they actually don't charge us for that. I think it's pretty normal for other manufacturers like charge sampling fees and stuff like that. And I think maybe there was some like it past experience involved where the trust is a little bit more there, kind of like, oh, you've done this before in some type of sense. But yeah, I would say from the get-go, the trust has been pretty good with our manufacturer. And then yeah, with all the samplings and stuff, there's a lot of DHL shipments always going back and forth, and that's pretty expensive. We pay for all that stuff. But yeah, once you have a good relationship with your manufacturer, they're really open to saying, you know, hey, what's the next thing? What else can we make for you guys? And like, they've even made bags too. Like, they've once again, they're very creative. I don't think this is normal, but they've even sent us some of their ideas for like seeing our other bags. And then they just kind of like put something together to like maybe plant some ideas into your head too. And it's like, cool, this is like, I don't know if I'll order it, but like, you guys are getting what we're getting at. Cause like, you know, the more products we can make, more POs they get, you know, more potential customers will sell. So yeah, they're definitely very open to the whole collaboration effort and, you know, wanting you to succeed. And I think they kind of mutually understand that.
Love that, man. I don't know if you have a bag on you or around you or behind you or somewhere. Obviously I got mine in front of me, but if you got one, grab one. Cause I'd love, just kind of, you know, my script says do a bag demo, you know, but just maybe just show some of the cool features, some of the things that, you know, just really make this bag a forward bag that you guys brought to the market.
Yeah, I could show off this Ranger. So this is actually technically it's a prototype, but this will be like our updated Ranger bag. And I could show you like some like small details, like starting up here front, we like to have like add-ons on our gear. So this is kind of a standard measurement and like a MOLLE system that we have that will live on like all of our bags so that all of our add-ons work. So some front attachment points, big front like pocket that's very like universal. And we actually just had like one of our competitors, they just came out with a new bag and people seem to really love, like, we have a front pouch here that's mostly for paddles. It's a little bit narrow. Like, you can still stuff a bunch of stuff. But, you know, some feedback came in and basically we want to build an attachment point where you can just like throw a jacket in front of this. So we're working on like unique add-ons to cater to our customers, like feedback and needs and like keep up with the competition. So we always like to have like add-on features, stuff like that. Our like on all of our bags, obviously people are using these on pickleball courts and it's like sandpaper. So this bottom liner is like truck bed.
This is like my favorite part. I got it and I was like, this is so unique. It's so cool. And like it made the bag, like I was like, oh, I love this.
It's the same material as that Yeti. It's just textured. So it's like bomb proof. It's totally proven. Like this stuff's going to last forever, which is also important to us. We have a lifetime warranty on all of our stuff. So that's why it's really important we get our products right, because if they're failing left and right, one, you have pissed off customers, and then two, you got to replace them, and that's a cost. So it's like everything we do is it needs to work well in terms of function and it needs to last. So anyways, and then like some other small details that like we're always working on, like this bottom part, like on our original court caddy, this is all mesh, but we were like, a lot of people use insulated bottles like this Yeti here. But when you're putting this on courts and stuff, they're basically getting micro, like little ledges and lips that are really sharp. And it'll actually over time just kind of like ruin the mesh. Not horrible. Like we've had to like replace a few bags because of it. So we're just like, okay, we'll add this bulletproof material on the bottom and then that fixes that problem. So like our gear's like always evolving from like what people are saying and then like what happens when the bags are just out there. And I mean, I'm proud to say so far out of like 2,000 Rangers sold since earlier this year, we've had zero failures. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, so, and then like, this is a prototype bag. So we were testing out more like attachment points. Like we see people adding like labubus. Like labubus are like the number one thing to add to a pickleball bag. So like, okay, we need like some attachment points up here. We didn't like these ones. We didn't like this one. We settled on this D-ring right here. That's just like pretty durable, looks the cleanest. So once again, we just ran this all through the group. We're like, hey, manufacturer, make us a bag with like all these different options and we'll just see what people want. So this would be like a 101 bag because it's just a weird prototype, right? So we get bags like this all the time. And then, yeah, like little details here, like, This is like a mash on your bag, like you'll see it, but like we brought that boot material up a little bit because when people pick up their bags, it's not always straight up and down. Like you'll tend to like dip it and then kind of like swing it. So if you were to ever do that and the mesh is too low, this mesh is going to start failing. Like it will eventually, like you'll dip it too much, it'll slide, it'll scrape, and like tennis courts they're brutal on gear. So yeah, there's just like some details like that where it's really important to get right, but you don't really know until you test it out and get feedback and kind of just learn from everything that's out there. So yeah, hopefully that gives you kind of like, this is kind of a fun bag because this is it's an evolution into the next one.
What were some of the biggest mistakes you made while designing the bag?
One of our products was a total flop. It was our sling bag. And basically, I think like looking back on it, we built a sling style of bag because that was a popular style in the marketplace. But what we missed out on and what we didn't really know yet was, I mean, they're popular because they're cheap. They're like $20, $30 Amazon slings. And we took the volume of that style and interpret it as that people like that, but really it's just a cheap option for pickleball players who don't really care. So it's kind of a mistake on our part for sure. So we basically built like the coolest sling, and like it's so decked out and it's so overbuilt and it's so awesome, but it's not a product market fit. It's a, you know, that sling, just the cost alone should probably be a $300 sling. And yeah, we're giving it away at cost right now, and like they're still hardly moving. So yeah, that was a massive failure. But yeah, something to learn on our end. We just, you know, we saw that people were saying no in the group, like when we were product developing it. That was mostly just we missed the mark. Like for bags, people value size, and slings are small. So if you're getting an expensive small bag, it's super niche and like, it's not really wanted. So like we've learned from bags, like space, like how big the size of the bag is. There's definitely like a sweet spot. But people value size over price a lot of the time. So yeah, that was a big mistake.
Yeah, man, that's super interesting. So I see a ton of like what you just said, like the sling bags on like TikTok shops, and they're like super quick, like $29.99, $39.99. And like, so my question to you is like figuring out like who you want to be as a brand as Forward. And it seems like you want to be playing a little more on the high end, right? Versus like the TikTok shop end. I definitely see you guys more on that. So it's like figuring out who you are and the customer that you serve versus like, all right, man, this thing's selling super hot on TikTok shop. Let's just create a ripoff. Like, that doesn't seem like that's who you guys want to be as far as building the brand.
At the end of the day, the brand is us and the people that are working on the brand, like ultimately. And we want to be proud of the products that we sell. Like at the end of the day, I don't want to sell junk. I don't want to sell products that like don't work. They're not fun to use. They don't last. Like we're very all uninterested in that. And you know, with that being said, our products are expensive, but it's because we build things with the best materials, and typically they're structured like they're bigger items. Like they're just expensive. Like legitimately, they're just very, very expensive for us. So it's kind of a give or take. Like typically we're going to have lower volume, but our brand, people love the brand. They love the product, and it's something that they're also proud to own, which is really cool as well. So yeah, I think like we're super uninterested in just like selling stuff to sell stuff. Like if we're going to put our time and energy into building a business and taking time away from our families or doing other things, like it better be the best stuff we possibly can make. Or it just feels like it's like kind of like a waste of time. It's like a lose-lose. It's like, I'm not proud to sell it. My customers don't like it. So like, well, why are we doing this? So that's kind of like, I don't know, at the mindset behind the brand is like build the best stuff we possibly can, serve customers, and take care of them by, you know, building great products that they love to use. That's kind of our strategy, I guess.
It's a good one. We got one more for you, then a couple of rapid fires. We'll let you get on with your night.
If you're building a baseball bag today, what's the first thing you try to understand about how baseball players actually use their bags?
I would create a group or a Discord. Well, this is what we did, so I'll do it again. I'd create a Facebook group. I would do a selfie style video and say, hey, this is Greg and Cole. We're trying to make the best pickleball or best baseball bag ever. If you're interested in that type of stuff and want to build a bag with us, join our group. We want your feedback. And I would do that again over and over and over again. And not only for bags, I would do it for any product moving forward. I would build a group of your future customers or people who play baseball or whatever it is, and build the product with them.
And then you're also building your first customers too, which is even smarter. So
yes, totally. When we launched our first bags, it was on pre-order, and this was like maybe a year out before we even knew the bags were going to come. But it was to the point where like, okay, I think we can like sell these just to see if people buy. And I think like six people bought from our group. It ended up being like over $1,000 just like from our Facebook group. But we were kind of like, okay, we're going in the right direction. So yes, they do become your first customers, and like, I don't know, they get excited to kind of support the brand and feel like they've been part of it. So that's what I would do for sure.
It's always nice when strangers give you money on the internet. It's really, really cool. All right. Got some rapid fire ones for you. So just kind of first thing that comes to your mind, let you take it away.
Where's the coolest place you ever played pickleball at?
I would say the very first time I played pickleball. It's just local courts up here in Utah. It's gorgeous view of the mountains, giant mountain in the background. It's called Sharon Park. Probably that.
Who's the coolest person you've seen using your bag?
The number one player in the world right now.
It's not a bad person.
He doesn't publicly promote it, but he has it. Yeah, there's a lot of like top 10 players who has our bag. So Terrell Owens, T.O. Probably T.O. He uses our bag.
What's your favorite feature on the bag? The one that you personally are most proud of?
The magnetic ball pocket. Yeah, that one's really cool. And Greg, I don't think you have that bag, but I'll get you the court caddy. That one's got all the cool magnets on it.
What's the best piece of advice you've gotten from a coach, mentor, or a teacher?
Build products that people want to talk about.
Who's your dream collab for Forward?
Dream collab? F1 team.
Nice.
If you had unlimited marketing budget, what would you spend it on?
I would get an ad on the Sphere in Vegas.
That's a good one. We haven't gotten that one yet. Mm-hmm. That's a nice one. Love that, man. Grub, thanks so much for doing this. Obviously, we'll link up all the socials, the site, all of that good stuff. Anything we didn't ask you that we should have asked you or to point people to? Obviously, I know we're recording this. I think your Black Friday sale just went, but this will come out after that probably. So, but just anything else, holidays or new year, new products, just things that you want to plug before we head out.
Yeah, I mean, just our website has most of our stuff. We're super active on Instagram. We're like always building on there. If you want to like join our Discord group where you can see how we build products and interact with us, that's always fun. But yeah, pretty much just those places, website, Instagram, Discord. It's pretty much where we live.
Sweet. We'll link all that up. Do you learn some stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Grub, man, thanks so much for doing this. We appreciate it. And we hopefully we can, on the Grommet side, sell a bunch of bags and just keep pushing people your way, man.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Greg and Colt. That was awesome.
Thank you. Day.